shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Every single spring, that first day that I walk outside and I see that yellow dust all over my truck, I'm like, that is Satan's dandruff. It destroys me. I legitimately can't go outside for longer than 3 minutes because my eyes get swollen, my eyes get puffy, my nose gets congested, and I just simply can't breathe. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. When I started taking Claritin D about 2 months ago, I can finally get back outside and play pickleball again, which is what I love to do, but I couldn't do it because my allergies were so bad. Claritin D has legitimately allowed me to go outside again. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
June 16th, 2022. This is the Human Health Podcast, episode 63. We're live from Uganda. And this is Osai Whitaker. And I got one question for you. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, come on.
Hey.
Here we are. Live from Uganda, it is Carlos Enrique with the Guzman and Chibol Cabello, and
this is Losaya.
Losaya Whitaker. And I tell you guys, Losaya, you did a great job on that intro.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. We are live from Merchant Falls. What's the name of this lodge, buddy? It's like, starts with a P.
Yeah.
Para.
Yeah.
Para Safari Lodge. And we're sitting here in our, Lasai and I have been rooming the whole trip. This is day six of our trip. The girls are in one room.
We're in another. We have the better room, of course.
We do, because we get to, do things.
Whatever that means.
A little stinkier in here. all the things, but we're having a good time. We're at day six, and I'm not going to give you guys a recap of the entire week. But it's been amazing. Probably the biggest thing I want to let you guys know is that as of today, before I even tell you that, we are here because the Insta Familia raised enough money to build six churches. I got to get the right number down, but I think at least six churches.
A lot of churches.
Yes. And we built those in January. When I say we built, raised enough money. And these churches were, meeting for years and years and years in like straw huts, clay enclosures. And so they would have to rebuild their church buildings every single year. So we raised the money. We're building them. They're building them literally as we sit here. Mm-hmm. Complete and total constructed churches. And I just love what the Insta Family does. And so we came here to visit those churches and those pastors. And again, the churches are also used as women's empowerment programs, job training, a lot of things for the community, clinics. But when we showed up in Africa, we got here a couple days early. We were like, hey, why don't we go visit a compassion project? Because, we love compassion.
We do.
And so our whole family and I went to a compassion project. But the night before, I found out that there were 17 kids that weren't sponsored in the whole city of Kampala, which actually is pretty impressive. And so I thought, why doesn't the Insta Familia sponsor all 17 kids? So I put a call out and I said, hey, what do you guys think? Would you love to partner with us and sponsor these 17 kids so I can go and say, hey, guess what? Every kid's been sponsored. So I did that at night. When I woke up in the morning, before we even went on to the place, do you remember how many kids got sponsored?
What, in that first day?
The first morning, overnight.
Wasn't it like 200
or
something? Yes,
it was like a little over 200. 200 kids had been sponsored. And then But I guess as of right now, today, it's 736.
Yeah, I think so.
736 kids in like 4 days.
Which is insane. Like that's crazy.
Insane. So that's almost 25%, maybe even more, of all the unsponsored kids in Uganda. And it was mind blowing, guys. It was absolutely insane. And so you can go back to my highlight. You can see just kind of what happens at a Compassion Project. It was, it's just, they do so much for these kids. And so we can get more into that in a little bit. But since then, we have ended up here on a safari. This is day two of our safari.
Yep.
At Merton Falls. And Lesiah, why don't you tell everybody what happened to us last night?
Almost died.
okay, that's awesome.
It was kind of fun though. Like,
so we tell us, we give us 60 seconds or less.
Saw a lion in a tree, and then we like right over our heads. We drove right under it, and then as we were turning around to go see it again, our car broke down, and the sun has gone down and everything, and there's like whole bunch of cars and everything, and slowly and surely we were there for a couple minutes and all the cars just left us besides this one car, and then there's lions everywhere and like it is getting dark. One of the lions, there's two and lions in trees. Yep. One of them gets down, we don't know where that one is. Yep. And the other one's waking up.
Yep.
And then we stop Jimmy
on a motorcycle
who has a gun and yeah, and then the lion got down from the tree and walked straight towards us.
Yeah.
That's when we almost died.
Yeah.
And then it walked into the tall grass behind us and
a truck came and rescued us. That's literally what happened. And then we got up this morning and went on a safari. And can you tell them how we almost died today?
Yeah, we almost died from an elephant today. So
happened?
We drove past it and it just started charging at us for no reason.
And we were going pretty slow and he just was grumpy.
Yeah.
And he started charging at us running. And I think all of us were way more scared about that than we were the lion.
Yeah. And then, so I'm curious to see how we're going to die on tonight.
Yes. We're not speaking that into existence because if you're listening to this podcast, that means we're alive because that means I've uploaded it. Which will happen tonight. But it's been amazing. It's been a just a treat to be able to come and spend time with you, these Ugandans. Ugandan people are some of the most, I don't even know if I can say some of the most, maybe the most peaceful human beings on planet Earth. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
They even like they're peaceful. Even when they're trying to like talk firmly, they're so quiet. So like we're on the drive and like our driver's like, so the gestation period of antelope is 32. And I'm like, is he talking to us? Like we're in the back of the truck. And I'm like, oh, can you speak a little louder? And he's like, yes, the gestation period. And I'm like, everyone's so peaceful and quiet. And it's just like, oh my gosh. And then sure enough, there was like, we were sitting here at the lodge last night and there's an influx of Americans that showed up at the lodge and they were just so loud. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, how embarrassing. Why do Americans have to be so loud?
Yeah, I was like, I wish I was an American.
I know. But then we're glad we're American too, okay? We don't want to make people mad,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
anyway, it's been awesome. We love the Ugandan people. It's been incredible. And speaking of Ugandan people, oh my gosh. So when we landed, many of you saw my Insta story that we were picked up by this beautiful Ugandan local named Lillian. We can call her Lily or Lillian. And she basically took care of us for 4 days. She breakfast, lunch, and dinner, morning to sun up to sundown. What do you guys need? What do you need? How can I help? How can I serve? And she is part of the Compassion staff here, but she's a local. She's grown up in Uganda. And, you know, as she's, you know, taking us around, like, I don't even know this about her. Like 2 days in, we go to the project, all the things. And then I ask her, so how did you get involved, you know, with this job? And she tells me, oh, I was a Compassion sponsored child. And I was like, excuse me? Hold on. There's a buzz happening here. There we go. She said, I was a Compassion sponsored child. Listen, we're live from Uganda. There may be a lot of buzzes that happen while we're on this podcast.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait, what? She said, yeah, I've been ever since I think she was six or seven years old. And I said, so can you just tell me about your life? You didn't have to tell me about compassion. Tell me about your life. And she's like, oh, my life would not be here without compassion. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I said, wait a second. Before you tell me now, can I pull out my mics and have you tell your story on the New Human Hope podcast? And she was mortified. Like, I don't know if she's ever done this in public before. So it took a little bit of convincing. But then when she saw how many kids were getting sponsored, she goes, I'll do it for the kids. I said, okay. So listen, this is one of the most special conversations I've ever had on the, if not the most. It is holy. It is beautiful. It is fragile. It is hard. It is difficult. It is glorious. It is redemptive. It is all of these things. Lillian has lived more in her life than many of us ever will in our entire lives. She has been through more trauma. She has been rescued more. She has rescued others. This story goes from being orphaned to abused to homeless to sponsored to suicidal to restored, and now she serves children and is married and has a baby. I'm telling you, her story, if anyone out there is thinking, I don't know if I can do this another day, please send this podcast to whoever that is. Let them listen to it, because I promise you, when you hear Lillian's story of redemption, you are going to be blown away. So please, I ask you as a Human Hope listeners to hold this conversation close to your heart. Really lean in and see if you can't take something out of her story that is going to propel you towards the goal that you have in your life of freeing other people. It's really true. She found freedom, and so now she frees other people. This is going to be special. Thank you, Human Hope listeners, for treasuring this conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. So here is our conversation with Lillian. So I am sitting... Where am I, Lily?
You're in Muñoño.
Oh, wait, hold on. Say that again, but a little louder.
Muñoño.
Okay, where's Muñoño?
Muñoño is in Uganda, a suburb of Kampala.
It's a suburb of Kampala.
Yes.
And I am sitting here with a local...
citizen of Uganda.
A local citizen of Uganda. Lily, I want you to introduce yourself to my podcast listeners. Just let them know your name, what you do, and why you're so amazing.
I didn't know I was amazing.
Yes, you are amazing.
My name is Lillian Nakabiri Mujisha.
Yes.
Mujisha means I am blessed.
Yes, you are blessed.
And I work for Compassion International in Uganda.
You do.
I love compassion.
Amazing.
I am an advocate for children. Yes. I call myself. No tear of children gets unnoticed in my presence.
No tear of children goes unnoticed in your presence.
Yes.
Unpack that. What does that mean to you?
It means I have all it takes to make a child smile.
Wow. And what does it take? If someone's listening to this podcast right now and they're like, I don't know if I can make a child smile. What do they need?
Oh, just simple. It takes your time, your presence, just a second.
Yes.
I remember that book that was written by the former president of Compassion, West Stafford.
Oh, yes.
I think it was, what's the book? Too Small to Ignore.
Okay.
So I realized that I can take any minute, any second.
Yes.
To just speak into their lives, make them know that they are beautiful, they are known, they are loved.
Yes.
And just give them a hug that makes them feel they are protected.
I love it. Well, we've been with you for a few days now. You picked us up at the airport. It was really late. And we've been traveling for 30 hours, and we got off the airplane, and I saw Lillian standing there with a compassion sign up in the air, and I was like, I'm home. Tell us what you thought of the Whitakers the first time we came walking up.
Wow, I was looking forward, first of all, when you put up your hand and you're like, yo, we're the ones. I was like, yes, these are the people I was waiting for. Yes. And you know, the Whitaker name was reminding me of chocolate. I need to tell you.
Chocolate. So you were, you, we reminded you of chocolate.
Well, I didn't tell you.
What, can you tell us why? Is there a Whitaker chocolate?
I think so.
Oh, okay. So you were already imagining a sweet family.
I definitely, I wasn't even imagining. I knew this is a sweet family.
Yes.
And when I saw you guys, I was like, I think these people are lovely.
Oh, so sweet.
Because you looked like you're home already, like in the middle of the night, you're from 30 hours of traveling and you still have the energy of you've just woken up.
Yes.
Like the day is just starting.
Well, it was like, we were so grateful when we saw your beautiful smile and we got in the van, and then I secretly, and now you know me, you didn't know me then, but I was secretly recording you as you were praying for us. You prayed for our journey and you prayed for our home and you were grateful. And so I recorded that and I put it up on my Instagram and I said, look at this beautiful lady that picked us up and prayed for us. And everybody on Instagram was like, she's so lovely. Who is she? And so everyone fell in love with you. And I was like, oh my gosh, like she's been taking care of us for the last few days. I wanted to have you on the podcast because I just, as I travel around, I meet people all the time. And I think everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a story to tell. And so actually I would love for you, I want to say, Lily, tell us your story. If I were to say, tell us your story without giving you any guidelines, without telling you it starts at 5 years old or it starts at 20 years old, or if I were just like, tell me your story, what would you say? The floor is yours.
I have a story for each day.
Oh, wow.
My story is longer than what I can say.
Of course. I have all day. We don't have anything to do, so.
Come on, you can't even listen to my story even if you had a full year.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Great.
But I should say I have a story for each day. And my story for each day is to be grateful to God for the sun I see every day. Why am I saying that?
Wow.
Is when I was born, we were in a polygamous family.
Oh, really?
I come from a polygamous family. It's very... I think it's pretty common for Africans to have polygamous families. It's not very nice.
Yes.
My mother died when I was 3 months old. That's why I say that every day is a new story for me.
Yes.
And my father died when I was 5 months old.
So your mother died at 3 months and your father died at 5 months.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's how the story starts. But I'm here.
Yeah.
Very happy. Living each day happily.
Yes.
And giving hope to many people. Simply because of the many people that God used to have my life what it is.
Wow. Tell us about the many people that God used to have your life how it is.
So the many people, when my mom died, she left me with her father, my grandfather.
Okay.
In Uganda, it's not common for a child to grow up at the maternal side. So my grandfather had to hand me over to my father's home.
Okay.
Or my father's side.
Yeah.
So that I grow up knowing my lineage.
Oh, wow. So they want you in Uganda to grow up with your lineage.
Yes.
With that side.
So another thing, he was afraid that I was going to die
because
I was too little.
Okay.
And he didn't know how to take care of a baby.
Right.
So he didn't want me to die in his hands,
but
rather would die in the hands of a woman who was my father's wife, my stepmother.
Yes.
So my stepmother brought me up in a big family of my half brothers and sisters.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I didn't see my father also.
Okay.
He was kidnapped and killed. My father was serving in the army.
Wow.
And by then, Uganda was going through turmoil.
Wow.
So I never got to know how he looked like, neither did I get to know my mother.
Any photos?
Yes, I've seen photos.
Okay.
That's all. And growing up in that family, there was violence, competition for everything, abuse, because we didn't belong to to their mothers. Right. So there was so much abuse at home. You were the one to take care of everything. But before that, I am so grateful to God that I survived, because if I did not survive, I wouldn't be on this podcast.
Right. You would not be at this podcast. Right. And you remember, those were very hard days.
They were very hard days. I must say, my stepmother did a good job bringing me up from a baby to a young girl. And there was a lot of hopelessness at home.
There was.
We were a big family, but we didn't have a big fund. We didn't have food. We didn't have a hope to get to a doctor when you're sick.
Mm.
So we knew that when you're sick, you get some herbs. And if you die, they bury you. If you survive, glory be to God. So every year we used to bury, because of my many half siblings, they would die of malaria. They would die of so many diseases. So
siblings would just die every year.
Yeah. Wow. It was so painful as a kid growing up in a family of tears.
Mm.
So my turning point was when I was 8 years old. My half brother then was studying to become a pastor, I should say. He was doing a Bible study training.
Yes.
And he got to know that Compassion was registering children. And there was this child at home who he knew that needed support. So he took me there.
Yeah.
And they told me to smile. I didn't even know how to smile.
Really? You remember?
I remember. I didn't know what it means to smile.
Wow.
They gave me a candy, like a chocolate. Uh-huh. That's why I say that your name.
Yeah, they gave you a Whitaker.
Yeah, Whitaker. So when they gave it to me, I opened my teeth and oh, this is sweet. And that's how they were able to take out maybe a good photo. I don't know if it was good. But one thing I remember, I did not have a good dress.
Okay.
So I remember the person who was taking photos told my brother, let her go and borrow a dress from another child who is her height mate. I am a little bit tall.
Yes.
So I wouldn't get maybe many kids who are of the same size. So I got a dress. My dress had holes and I feared to stand. I kept on holding. I didn't want anyone to see my body.
Right.
So I got a dress from a girl and we posed. I posed for a photo. And that is the photo that makes me who I am today.
What? Okay. That for people that don't know what that means.
So that photo was taken by people who are working for Compassion International.
Okay.
And they were registering children for their support, to support them, the children who are living in, like, who are the neediest of the needy.
Yes.
Were being registered to be supported. And there I was among them. So that photo was taken to Australia.
Oh.
And there was this generous person who picked up. I don't know whether I looked very nice, but God used them to pick me up.
Yes.
As their daughter, to invest in my life so that I can be a good citizen of my country.
Wow.
Yes. So I started going to the Compassion Project every weekend, and I looked forward to that weekend because there would be breakfast porridge with milk,
yes,
with sugar, and something to eat. A good lunch,
yes,
that we could never have at home.
Yes.
Back home, I did not explain. Our poverty was stinking.
Really?
We had pigs that we used to rear for income.
Okay. So did you live in the country?
I used to live, not a country. Right now it's growing up.
Okay. Yeah.
But at that time it was semi-rural.
Okay.
So I lived in a place, I was born in a place called Chitetika, a suburb of Kampala.
Okay. Chitetika.
Chitetika on Gayaza Road. By that time it was rural. And when I was growing up, I remember we did not have food at home.
Oh wow.
These pigs that I've talked about were supposed to survive, and we would go to the neighborhood to look for pills, to look for leftovers so that we can bring to the pigs.
Oh,
but
really?
These are kids that you go to the neighborhood to look for these things, and at the same time you're also hungry.
Yes.
So there are many chances when you find a good sweet potato in the rubbish,
right,
that you would just peel it off peel off and eat.
Really?
Because you're starving.
Yes.
And those things, of course, would make us sick, but thankfully,
yeah,
survived.
So you would actually eat food from the garbage?
Very much.
Very much.
So when we were sick, as I told you, that many years we would bury someone. Yeah. I guess every year we'd bury us, maybe half a sibling or a cousin or what.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't access medical care.
Yes.
There are some sicknesses that couldn't be treated by herbs.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So at that time, if someone is getting malaria and they're not having a mosquito net and all that, they can't treat it. Maybe it becomes so horrible and the person is gone.
Yes.
Well, sometimes it can be waterborne diseases.
Right.
Because we used to fetch water from 3 to 4 miles.
Oh, wow.
We didn't have running water in our home, not even in our neighborhood.
Huh.
So we would walk with our 20-liter cans patched on our heads to carry water home.
Yeah.
And by the time you reach home, you're hungry. You want something, but it's not there.
Yeah.
It was rare to have tea with sugar.
Uh-huh.
Because sugar was expensive.
Yeah.
But the days you could have a good meal, you would always thank God. So when I started going to the Compassion Project, that's why I looked forward to going. Because they pampered us. They made us to eat like queens and princesses.
Oh, yeah.
And kings.
I mean, I saw what we fed them yesterday. I mean, it was a nutritious meal with like vegetables and protein. And I loved it. I ate it all.
And it's an expensive meal.
Yeah.
Don't expect many families to afford that. And yet a child will be admiring to eat something like that.
Yeah.
So having it at the center, that is like Christmas.
Yeah.
Like every Saturday was like Christmas. You looked forward to going to celebrate. And on top of that, of course, would get letters from sponsors.
Right.
Would get to interact with these lovely social workers.
Uh-huh.
I remember when they would tell me, Lilian, you're so special, you're so beautiful. That was unique because no one in my family ever told me that.
Wow.
I actually had very low self-esteem. Because I didn't even know what it means to be beautiful.
Sure.
I didn't know what it means to be loved.
Yeah.
You coming to the center and someone is opening their arms to hug you.
Yes.
And you don't even know what a hug means.
Yes.
Maybe no one at home has ever thought of hugging you.
Wow.
They probably don't even have that. The only thing they would think is, what are we going to eat today? And not about, who are we going to hug today?
Yeah.
So growing up like that was special, especially whenever we were at the Compassion Church, at the Compassion Center. And I remember that day when they told me that I had got a sponsor. Of course, I didn't know what it means to have a sponsor.
Right.
But they gave me that card that had many faces of children. And that card was from the person who had picked my photo.
Okay.
To support me. And I smiled. I remember I was so happy. But I didn't know that this is going to continue. I was like, I wish this can continue. Like, this life is so good. It was too good for me to think.
Wow.
That I was going to be part of it, like, for a long time.
Oh, because you thought, oh, maybe this is just going to go away. Like,
yes.
This is just for a couple weeks, and then they're going to be like, no more.
Yeah, I, you know, like those dreams. And the very first time, I remember when we went to the center, they gave us a center uniform.
Yes.
And that was a very nice clothes for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
They gave us shoes.
Oh, wow.
I think it was my very first pair of shoes. I can't even lie about that. And they gave me a pair of socks, and then they took me to school. I had been to school because the family would gather up some money, take us to school. But then us, meaning my half-siblings, then my direct siblings, we were 4 from my mother.
Mm.
And these direct siblings, they were all shared among different relatives because one home could not handle all.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't grow up knowing them or interacting with them until when I had grown.
Oh.
So even me, myself, whoever would have something, they would invite you to their home. If they run out, you go to another home. So I grew up as a wanderer, like, you know, like whoever invites you, if they get tired, they go to another person. You don't have like a belonging. You don't feel like, okay, this is where I belong permanently. So when I was a teenager, the sponsorship was more meaningful.
Oh, really?
Because I was understanding the relationship very well. The people who picked me up were from Australia, a lady called Rosemary Mahomedi.
Rosemary Mahomedi.
I see her as my hero.
Oh.
She used to work in, or not work, she used to fellowship in a church, and she was a Sunday school teacher.
Okay.
So it was called Ashmore Uniting Junior Church,
okay.
The ones that first sponsored me. And because she was the leader, she was the one writing. But the card they would send, all the kids of that church would sign up. So I got to know their names. Maybe I didn't even know how to pronounce each name.
Yeah.
But I got to relate with them, and I felt like they were my sisters, they were my brothers.
And these were all the kids at the church from where she was from in Australia?
Yes.
Wow.
And when she left teaching these kids, or maybe she changed the church, she wrote to me and she told me, I left the church and now I'm going to start sponsoring you myself.
Yeah.
And then she introduced me to, because her family, the children also were part of the Uniting Junior Church.
Yes.
So they would also write, and then she would tell me, these are my children, they're late and this. So I related more. I felt like they were my siblings. And when I was growing up, then the relationship was more, because I would write very many letters and long letters.
Yeah.
Because I had so many stories to tell her. And she also would respond with a long letter.
Yes.
Life was so nice because I look forward to hearing from her. But my special moments are those days when she would tell me, I'm praying with you.
Oh, wow.
You're so special to us. You're an inspiration. And I was like, I wish you know where I come from. I wish you know the kind of life I'm leading. I can't be an inspiration to anyone. But you know, those words kept building my faith. And she told me to delight myself in the Lord, and that God will give me the desires of my heart. And the scriptures she wrote to me when I was still growing are the founding scriptures that are still strong in my life up to now.
Really?
Like, delight in yourself. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The Lord has given me the desires of my heart because He has given me His joy.
Okay, so listen, friends, you're not going to want to miss the next part of this conversation because it is equally gripping and gut-wrenching, but also equally redemptive. Lily just goes, she goes in, all in. So if you need some hope, I'm telling you right now, you're about to get it right after our two partners that are partnering us this week on Human Hope, and here they are. Listen, nobody has a business like yours. So with all the strengths and challenges to succeed, you need a hiring partner. I need a hiring partner that adapts to your needs and my needs. We need Indeed. Listen, Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So instead of me spending hours, instead of you spending hours on multiple job sites searching for the right people with the right skills, Indeed does it all in one place. What I love about Indeed is that there's so many great talented individuals on there that 3 out of 4 U.S. online job seekers are using Indeed.com every month. Did you hear me? That is 3 out of 4 U.S. online job seekers are using Indeed. So even better, Indeed's the only job site where you only pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/human hope. Offer is only good for limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/human hope. That's Indeed.com/human hope. Terms and conditions apply. Pay per qualified applicant, not available for all users. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I am so excited to be partnering with this brand new partner here at Human Hope, ExpressVPN. I have been using ExpressVPN for years. Did you hear me? I said years. That's right. Ever since I started traveling more and using my phone attaching to other Wi-Fi systems and other hotspots, I use ExpressVPN because I don't want people knowing my stuff. I don't want people knowing who I am, getting a hold of my data. ExpressVPN takes all that away from them and allows you to make sure that you're browsing in private. Okay, so I'm actually in Uganda right now using ExpressVPN to upload this actual podcast. I'm using it
here. I use it all over the world. I started using ExpressVPN when I wanted to make sure that my travels, I wasn't being tracked. And then also when I'm in other countries, sometimes I can't access things like YouTube TV or Netflix with ExpressVPN. It looks like my internet is being routed from, it looks like I'm in Dallas. So it allows me to watch all the shows that I want to watch. That is another reason why I love ExpressVPN. So find out how you can get 3 months, that's right, 3 months of ExpressVPN for free by visiting expressvpn.com/humanhope or clicking on the link in the description in the show notes. Make sure you guys head to expressvpn.com/humanhope and find out how you can get 3 months of ExpressVPN free.
When I was 16 years old, when I was already growing up and the demands of school, the demands of home were so much. As I told you, I was moving from one family to another.
Right.
This time I was staying with my elder step siblings. They were from a different way of life.
Yes.
They were richer than
okay. We
used to be. And I was kind of a country girl.
Uh-huh.
So I come to this
like
home.
Like Nashville.
Country. Yeah, as a country girl, and they come to this home and the culture was different, everything was different. I didn't know anything, and I lived with them, but they didn't treat me as their sibling because maybe I was not adding up to their standard. So I had an uncle, a paternal uncle, who was taking care of our family.
Okay.
When we were
How old were you at this point?
16.
16, okay.
So this paternal uncle used to take care of our, to oversee, check on us at our stepmother's home.
Yeah.
Or who know wherever someone was.
Right.
When I was 16, this man passed away.
Okay.
So when he passed away, I remember that's the time I hated God.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, even this person I thought I would cling to has gone.
Wow.
I lost hope because he ensured that we remain in school and also we get to know our relatives.
Yes.
I had so much bitterness.
Wow.
I went to the project, but I didn't feel myself because at that time they were also transferring me to another project.
Okay.
I was going through a lot of changes.
Yes.
As a teenage girl, a lot of body changes.
Yes.
A lot of emotional changes that I could not cope. And the worst comes to the worst when school needed me more, when the center needed me, and at home they didn't want me to go to the center, they didn't want me to go to school, they wanted me to stay as a house helper.
Oh, at your home where you were living?
Yes.
Okay.
And do all the donkey work and all that. And that was okay. I would balance. I would do the work
yeah.
and then go to school. I actually pleaded with them, I can do the work, but then go to school.
Okay.
Because education was my hope.
Yes.
Without education, it's very hard for someone to have a good living here.
Yes.
At least you have any education can help you to be someone
right.
in this country.
That's why education is so important here.
It is very important
yeah.
because it makes you to be what you can be,
yeah.
to be valued.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Hey, listen, we've got a beautiful baby boy that is running up here. Lily's little baby. He's actually my best friend.
I tried to do bubbles and the boats. With
oh,
him.
You're good. We're fine. He can talk. We just keep telling your story.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, when I was 16, I don't want to talk about that so much. But,
okay.
My key point of bringing this.
Yes.
Is my story builds more around that. I remember when he died, my stepsisters became so different and wild. They told me, we only took care of you because of him.
Wow.
Now we don't know you. You need to look for your father. Maybe you also need to look for your mother. We don't even know whether your mother did right that to say that you belong to our father.
Yeah, yeah.
So they talked so many hard things in my ears.
Yeah.
And I felt emotionally tortured. But because I wanted a home.
Emotionally tortured.
I didn't want to go back to my stepmother
yeah.
because I was already transferred to another project. I still wanted to be in compassion.
Yeah.
I still wanted to go to school. So I pleaded with them to have me at home.
Yeah.
And they couldn't. So one day I went back home and my stepsister had thrown my belongings outside. So when I found all my belongings outside, I cried bitterly. I have not cried in my life like I cried when I was 16 years old. I pleaded with her to help me stay home because I knew I could not have another home. My father's home was very far.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I go back to my father's home, there was no one who would help me go to school.
Wow.
I would probably I would be a failure because I would lose education and I would be very far from the Compassion Project that had received me.
Yes.
So when she refused to have me inside, I picked up my things. I remember even my sponsor letters were in among the things that were scattered.
Yeah.
I picked up my books and my few belongings and walked away from that home.
Wow. And you were 16?
I was 16. And now it was clear that I had no home. I cried and wandered and slept outside during the night. Of course, I would wait for until it is dark and find any place to put my things. And then my things became my pillows.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it was under a tree, maybe it was under a thicket. Each night I would stay somewhere else in a bush.
Six months at 16 years old.
Yes.
Wandering. Wow.
It was close to 6 months. And along the way, there was a woman who phoned me. That woman used to be a nanny to my stepsisters that threw me out.
How did she phone you? Where did she call you?
She phoned me at the well when I was trying to drink water.
Oh.
And I was looking very dirty.
Wow.
And she asked me, she thought I had run mad. So she asked me, Lillian, where are you? Where have you been? Like, you know, she was very shocked.
Yes.
To see me and also to see me looking funny.
Yes.
And not going to school because she knew I was going to school. So incidentally, I think God just led her to that. And when I saw her, I cried and she knew I was not well. She knew my family. She knew what I was going through all along. And then she told me, I've been looking for you. I thought you went back to your father's home. And she told me, come, let us go home.
Yes.
She was poor.
Yeah.
She had a one-roomed house that was made of mud and water.
Mm.
And she had big children and grandchildren, but she was generally not a well-to-do person, but she had a big heart.
Yes.
So I learned that you don't have to be rich to have a big heart.
Wow.
She held my hand and took me to her home. So she told me, I want you to go to school and at night you come and sleep here. So that you don't lose out on education. She was not educated. She didn't even know English.
Wow.
But she belonged to a church where my project was.
Okay.
And the little she had, she shared with me.
Wow.
When I went to her home, I didn't have a mattress. I didn't have a beddings. I didn't have anything. But she pulled out a big kind of curtain.
Yes.
And she told me, this will act as your mattress for now.
Huh.
At night, I would lay it down in what would be the living space.
Yes.
I can't describe how small that house was, but there was a curtain that was separating her bed from the little sitting area. So I would sleep in the little sitting area.
We went to Hugo's place, and people that are listening to this saw the video on Instagram. So maybe.
Exactly.
Did it feel about that size, a little smaller?
Exactly.
Okay.
I think it was exactly the circumference of Hugo's house.
Okay.
Then we'd put a curtain to divide her bedroom.
Yes.
And then the rest was the living room. So I would put this piece of cloth that she gave me down, and then I use half of it to cover myself.
Wow.
So for a long time it was not comfortable, but it was okay.
Yeah, compared to sleeping under a tree.
The peace I had in my heart was bigger than the comfort. Yes, it was warm because I had spent so long sleeping outside, sleeping anywhere.
Yeah.
So I didn't care. Like, I didn't care where I slept as long as I had a shelter.
Yeah.
I felt protected. Like, she would never eat without keeping me food.
Wow.
Even if I was at school, I would find, Lillian, this is your food. She would, she took me on as her daughter.
Yes.
And eventually she encouraged me a lot, but still I ran away from her home.
Huh. Wow.
I ran away from her home because I thought I had nothing to keep me in school. I would go to school when I didn't have books, I didn't have what. I would still fear to explain myself to the Compassion Project. I went back to sleep in the bush.
Wow.
I had become like so, I had hated life.
Yes.
So I told her I will come and eat, but maybe you leave me. Mm. Like, I just wanted to die.
Yeah.
And I remember I told her I just want to die.
Yeah.
But in my heart, I said I wanted to die when I'm happy. Maybe I take poison.
Wow.
So that I have something that would make me smile.
Mm.
And I remember one time I was in the bush and so hopeless, thinking about what my life would be, thinking about the worthlessness that I had become, thinking about death and how I can die, and thinking about how someone can die happy.
Mm.
I was like, if I would die happy, someone would come and find a smiling dead body somewhere in the bush. So I wanted to find out what is that can make me smile. Because when I went to her home, I thought I was not feeling like I can live with people.
Yeah.
So now I am back to myself and I feel like I want to die. So these little things that I was moving with that I called my belongings.
Yes.
Some of them were my sponsors later.
Still, you still, through all this time, still carried the letters. The
most precious things, even up to now, I still have them.
Wow.
So I read one by one. She had written so many and there was so much to communicate. When I was reading, I felt like I was talking to her. And at that time, I had got a bottle of poison.
Really?
I wanted to die that day. And my reason for reading was to die when I'm happy.
Yes.
Not to continue living.
Yeah.
So I was ready to drink so that I can take my life.
Yeah.
So.
It's okay. Yeah, thank you.
So when I read, I don't like to go back.
I know.
But when I read, her letters gave me hope.
Yeah.
Miles away from me, she was, but she was writing life
right there.
In my hopelessness. Her letters made me to feel I am a child of God. They made me to feel I have a purpose for my life and God has a purpose as to why he created me. They gave me this resurrected confidence to face life again. And that time I knew that if I took that poison, my Rosemary, my sponsor all the way from Australia, she was going to cry if Compassion told her, your child disappeared and died.
Yeah.
And at that time, I think they had taken so long. She had, I think, asked Compassion, I'm no longer hearing from my child, what's happening and all that.
Yeah.
And I think they were looking for me. They couldn't get me. And this woman went to Compassion Project and told me, that girl is alive. She came to my house. You need to look for her.
Wow.
I think she wants to die. So that helped. Like, she was an advocate.
Wow.
She joined the team of people to look for me.
Wow.
But that one day, I decided to walk to the
Compassion
Project.
Wow. After you read the letters?
Yes, with everything. One day, the project director called me and spoke into my life. And she told me, you will make it.
Wow.
You will make it. That sentence alone was enough. I got confidence that I will make it.
Wow.
And my sponsor, I wrote to my sponsor.
You did during this time?
During this time. And I told her that I no longer live at the home that I used to live. And Compassion wouldn't want to really burden a sponsor so much. So I didn't write all the details, but she knew there was something that was not right.
Yeah.
And she asked Compassion more details, and Compassion was able to explain what exactly happened.
Yeah.
The letters she wrote after that were letters of hope and love.
Wow.
Now, when I was 17 years old, that is the time I walked to the altar to give my life to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
All this drama of life made me to hate God.
Hmm.
I hated God because I knew God was taking away from me.
Yeah.
Much as people are saying God is a giver, God gives us everything. For me,
yeah.
Looking at the life I lived, the family I grew up in, the people I had lost, I knew that God was taking away from me much more than he was giving me.
Yeah.
And I hated him.
Wow.
I hated him for not saving my siblings when I was growing up. I hated him for not saving my parents.
Yeah.
I hated him for making me see pain through
yes.
life. I hated him that I could not, like, much as I would go to the Compassion Project to learn about God, I knew that, yeah, God is there and we can go to church and we can...
But look at my life. Bible,
but
yeah.
Maybe he doesn't love me.
Mm.
But that day, Compassion had organized a conference for us as youths. And the preacher was talking about broken our lives as broken pieces of glass that whenever it falls down and someone steps on it, it can easily pierce you.
Mm.
You know, it can cut you when you hold it. And I knew that was my life.
Wow.
I was a broken piece or broken pieces that would cut anyone and injure them. And I wanted God to bring these broken pieces together so that he can use me as a vessel. He can create a nice vase. He can create in me a new glass or something that he can use. And I walked up the front to declare that, yes, I am taking Christ as my savior. And that time was transformational for me. They took me through, yes, intensive Bible study and life resurrected.
No way.
To the fact that I started becoming a peer counselor.
Wow.
And I would encourage my peers. Like, I don't know, there is a secret in knowing God.
Yeah.
Life, like, illuminated. There was a big light on me.
Wow.
The beauty in me started flourishing.
Wow.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're getting to the place that I feel like people are really, to be honest with you, Lily, hearing your story.
Mm.
This part, I think, is something that compassion or no compassion, the sponsorships or no sponsorships, there's people that are going to be listening to this podcast that have rage and anger and bitterness and all of these feelings inside of them. They love the Lord, but they still cannot forgive these people. And that's the point that I want you to really sit on and take us to that point again, where and how you were able to forgive.
Forgiveness is a rock.
Yeah.
You just carry it in your heart and you feel comfortable carrying something so heavy.
Yeah.
But you don't feel life is comfortable.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to forgive.
Yeah.
Like I said, it took me years.
Wow.
I had bitterness as a child, I had bitterness as a teenager. I had bitterness as a university graduate. Even as I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I still carried bitterness.
Yes.
That means it was a rock seated in my heart for a long time that I needed to come to a deeper knowledge of Christ, of God, to understand who I am in God.
Yes.
That I may be able to know who His people are and how I can relate with them.
Wow.
And that means I needed to release my heart. And I realized that it was torturing me.
Wow.
More than probably it was torturing the people who tortured me when I was growing up.
Yes.
I was nursing my own pain.
Yes.
And maybe self-inflicted pain.
Yes.
Because I'm thinking about this and I'm making all the pictures, going back to the past. How can this one throw my things? How can they beat me? I was beaten over nothing. Most of the times I was accused of wrong things. So all that, I would go back and cry and fill up my stories with, like you know, it feels like riding a car in reverse. You never reach where you're going.
Yes.
And I realized that all the pain I had was because of the past.
Wow.
So it helped me to realize that my past clothes no longer fit me. If they no longer fit me, that means I have to put them away or give them to someone else.
Yes.
So you can't give a bitter heart to someone else. So you can give love. It's love that you can easily give. You cannot give hatred.
Wow.
Like, hatred doesn't bring life. It is love that brings life. So love is an aspect of forgiveness.
Wow.
When you forgive someone, it's not automatic that you're going to love them the same way you would have loved them if they didn't hurt you.
That's true.
But the truth is, Christ will transform your heart. Like, there is a way God will help you to love them anyway.
Yeah.
Or there is a way you will love yourself. I think forgiveness is loving myself.
Yes.
If I want to love myself, I won't give myself what doesn't fit me. I won't give myself an old wear. I will buy myself a new dress. I'll buy myself a new shoe. So forgiveness is like putting on this old stinky shoe and still move and pose with it.
Huh.
It's like if I am having I'm having to carry bitterness, anger, rage, everything of the past that hurt me. I am putting on this shoe that I picked from maybe a pig's tie and I am still wearing it as my shoe because it was my shoe. It was bought by me or someone gave it to me, and I'm supposed to put it on even when it is stinky. So why carry a stinky heart?
Yeah.
And yet I can have a fresh heart.
Wow.
If I want a fresh heart, that means I have to download my rage. I have to download my anger. I have to download my past and let it where I have sat and sit in a clean place.
Oh.
So for me, that's how I understand forgiveness. At that time, I needed to release myself of the past.
Yes.
To release myself of the so much suffering, the tears. It is because I overthought about it. Even now, when I was talking about it, the tears would come.
Oh, yes.
Because the pain of the past is very hard to erase.
And it's real.
It's real. I cannot even accuse someone for not forgiving because I know how difficult it is.
Yeah.
But I also know that it is possible.
Wow.
It is difficult, and not all difficult things are impossible to handle. There is nothing too hard for you who has two eyes, who can breathe, who especially you have a breath.
Yeah.
And you have a breath of God. If you believe in God, you have a breath of God because He breathes through us life.
Yes.
If I have a breath of God, that means I can breathe fresh life, fresh air all the time. That helps me to live every day as special as I would love others to live. So if I want to feel special, then I clean my heart of all the stains.
Yes, yes.
And nothing. I actually, when I was talking to my girl over something this afternoon, I said, release your heart and don't put a lot of dirty things in your heart because you will grow old quickly. So when you don't forgive, you can grow old without knowing that you're actually growing old.
Wow.
Like, the wrinkles of your heart cannot help your heart to pump well.
Wow.
So
you forgive.
Forgive.
You forgave them.
And
you said it felt like
I felt like I had put off that heavy robe.
Yeah.
And actually felt lighter.
Wow.
Like I was carrying so much.
Yeah.
I felt I was carrying a lot. Especially there's one sister of mine that I wanted her to see her dead. Yeah. Like maybe I would feel happy if I had thrown a spear on her.
Oh, wow.
That's how intense it was.
Wow.
But when I forgive right now, even every day, I felt maybe I was being, I even started accusing myself, oh, maybe I was bad, or maybe I was not. I still had to forgive myself.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when we forgive others, we also need to forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
I still had to forgive myself, like, to come back to life.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't even want to go into a lot,
yeah,
but I've met that very stepsister of mine many times. I think it's a half-sister,
okay,
someone you share with a dad.
Yeah.
Is it a half-sister, not,
yes,
a stepsister?
That's a half-sister.
So my half-sister fears me, I know, because she did a lot to me. But I want her to always know that I love her. I,
wow,
forgive her. Like, I have told her, every time I find her in a function, I told her, by the way, I forgive you.
Wow.
By the way, I love you.
Yeah.
Like, she thinks I'm playing drama.
Wow.
Against her. Like, I want to get her maybe revenge. She still thinks. I can revenge. And now she's carrying the big monkey.
Mm.
Like, for me, I put off the burden. She's carrying the burden. I don't want her to carry the burden.
Yeah.
I realize that it is useless holding her.
Yeah.
When I find her, I greet her very well. When she wants to greet me, she responds. When she doesn't want, she goes her way. And going her way is sometimes she's guilty that she doesn't want to face me. But leaving that alone, I am the youngest.
Yes.
So the people I follow are bigger. They are like my parents.
Okay.
Like those who are bigger, that my half siblings are really big.
Yeah.
They are like my parents.
They're older.
But they are really older. Like they are way older.
Yeah.
But we can sit on the table and I decide for them. And when they have conflicts with each other, I still am called as a mediator.
Wow.
When there is something that is not going right, they will still call me, let's hear Lillian's opinion without them going forward. Like without any, before any decision is done,
yeah,
I am called, Lillian, what do you have to say about that? Like, it's not that I'm like, you know, too important and all that, but Christ,
yes,
put a new robe on me. Like, God made me different.
Wow.
And that is because of the counseling I received, that so much love I received through compassion, the letters of my sponsors that gave me the value that I should give back.
Yeah.
And yes, many people ask, when we sponsor one child, what does it have to do with the rest of the family members?
Right.
Now, for me, I'm one candle that is lighting the whole family as a big lamp.
Mm.
I am that lamp that my sponsor Rosemary lit. And she may never get to know. Actually, most of the time, she thinks she did a small thing.
Yes.
I only did a small thing. But that which she did is what is helping my family right now.
Yeah.
That is what is helping others to receive Christ. And many of them have come to know the Lord as their Savior.
Wow.
I've supported them financially. I've supported them spiritually. I've supported them mentally. And I feel like if compassion did not pick me up at such an early age to invest in my life, to put and to create or to emphasize God's plan for my life.
Yeah.
Where would I have been? How would my family be?
Right.
They'd probably be killing each other.
Mm.
And even me, I would be part of the many bitterness and all that. Maybe I would be dead.
Wow.
But they made life meaningful for me. So I must make life meaningful for others, and others start with my blood.
Wow.
Like with those that tortured me.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so if there's a book agent out there, I'm going to sign Lily to her first book, because that is you need to tell your story. I'm so glad that you gave that to us. There's a couple things I want to ask you very specifically.
Mm.
First of all, thank you for being so vulnerable. It touched me. And if it just touched me, then that's all I needed. But it's going to touch a lot of people. So thank you.
Amen.
But also, especially when it comes to, you know, people thinking about, you know, I'll just talk about me before I sponsored a kid. Like, I mean, what's it really going to matter? Like, you know, like it's, yeah, I'm paying my, you know, I'm sending my check. And, you know, I know that there's a kid somewhere on the other side of the world that they say really knows who I am. Like, do kids that are sponsored in Compassion literally really care about their sponsors?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
The kids that are sponsored in Compassion take their sponsors to be their, what can I say, heroes.
Wow.
Their treasure. Mm. Their parents. Mm. By all means, I have another mom across the world. They are so special because there is our sponsors have written new letters in our lives. They have written our lives. And those letters that people think it takes maybe... Even if it was one sentence, that sentence can change someone's life.
Wow.
One sentence in my sponsor's letter changed my life from thinking about death to thinking about life. So thinking about life has transformed me and has transformed so many people. That when the kids look at me and they know that I'm formally sponsored, they are inspired.
Yes.
They want to be like Lillian or they want to be better than Lillian. They want to make it. They know that they can make it if I made it.
That's so good.
So to a child that is sponsored, the sponsor is like their world, their new world.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Yeah.
They look forward to hearing from you.
Oh, so write letters. Write them. Make sure you write them.
Oh, I wish you can write.
Oh, yeah.
I wish they can write. I wish sponsors can write.
Yeah.
Of course, they are so busy, but you know, it's nice to, even if it is one sentence.
Yeah.
Because those letters are the ones that are giving hope to the children.
Yeah.
Yes, support gives a lot of hope, but the letters build their lives.
Wow.
They help them to have self-esteem.
Yeah.
They help them know, I have a friend from another country.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a family. Oh, they say that I'm part of their family. Oh, my photo is on the fridge.
Yeah.
How special is that?
Wow. That's so good. Thank you. No, that's good. You may have never even heard this or you've never even thought about this, but this is something that in America, some people, there's some people that argue that say, no, you know, like you're just Americans trying to rescue and feel good about yourself and trying to rescue children around the world. And I hear you talking. And well, I would love you to speak to that, to speak to some people that are like, well, people are telling me I shouldn't sponsor a kid because I'm just trying to make myself feel good. And they're saying that this is about me and it's not really about them. Talk to us about what really happens. Is that a good question? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, I really understand. And someone is wondering why they should sponsor.
Yeah, why? Because maybe there's people that are saying, you know what, like Compassion, that, you know, or child sponsorship, like it really doesn't really do anything. Like it's just helping, like you feel better about yourself. You're not really helping.
Oh, I must say it works.
It works.
If my life is here and I'm in front of you and I'm on this podcast.
Yes.
I am not even told to do this. I was just captured.
No. I captured you? Okay, I would like to let it be known. I'll explain that in a second. Yes, I captured you for my podcast. So yes, the fact that you're in front of me.
Yes, I want the world to know that picking up that photo to sponsor a child is writing a new life in that life, in that child's life. Like, changing the world, and if you can change one person's life, that means you're changing the world around them.
Yeah.
And don't hesitate.
Yeah.
If you're to do something, do it. Yes. And let God do the rest.
Wow.
You don't even have to ask any question. I picked up my child actually to sponsor.
Yeah.
When I graduated, I wanted to give back, and working for Compassion was not enough. I wanted to feel like I am sponsoring a child from another country.
Huh.
And I picked up a child. I didn't know that. I wasn't even earning a lot.
Yeah.
I picked up this child from Togo.
Togo.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
I don't even know this child. But I know my sponsor picked me from Uganda when she had never been here.
Right, right.
She stretched her heart. She stretched her hand. And when I picked up this child from a Muslim family.
Yes.
I wanted them to know God. I wanted them to know Christ.
Yes.
And I wanted this child to know that love exists.
Yeah. Wow.
And whenever I write to Raid, my sponsored child, I address the letters as Dear His Excellency, the future President of the Republic of Togo. because I want him to feel that self-esteem of an excellence.
Yes.
So I am writing a new world for him.
Yes.
So when you get to sponsor a child, you are creating a new world for this child, that they are world changers. You are part of change.
Yes.
So if you're waiting to change the world, you may not change the world the way you want to change, but you may change the world through this child because it's changing their lives.
Amen. Amen. That is so good. And when people come, so some people do come to visit, is it okay to take pictures and to show, like, do the kids love it when people come to visit? Do they love it when they get their pictures taken?
They love it. They don't know where you're going to put the picture. Yeah. They want to smile. They want to see themselves beautiful with you.
Oh, yeah.
They want to touch that long hair of yours.
Yes. Oh, not of mine.
Not of yours.
That is so good. You know, just so everyone knows, Lily was not, literally, she is just here to love and to care for my family and to make us feel at home. And it was today. Was it today that I asked you to be on my podcast or yesterday? Today?
I think today.
We're on the way to church. Sister, I was like, hey, Lily, so, oh no, I asked you. Oh no, because I found out you were a sponsor child. I didn't even know you were a sponsor child, that you'd been through Compassion until the way to church today. So like, we've been together for 3 days now and I didn't even know. And then I was like, you know what? I have my podcast gear. I just want to hear from a local person about their story. And I can't think of a better person to share than you. You have given us such inspiration. And I just want to say thank you.
Oh.
Thank you.
I'm honored.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And thank you for using that word inspiration, because it reminds me of what my sponsor wrote.
Oh, really?
She told me I'm an inspiration to her family when I was not anybody.
Wow.
So that encouraged me to be an inspiration to many people.
Wow. Yeah. So good. Well, you're an inspiration to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much. That was holy. What did I say?
Truly moving.
It was moving. Losiah, you've spent a few days with Lily. What's one of your favorite things about who she is?
Her kindness.
Her kindness.
Mm-hmm. She was really funny too.
She
made a lot of jokes.
She did. Like, literally from the moment she picked us up at the airport, I thought that
I thought she was being serious.
I thought the hotel was 35 minutes away is what it said on the sheet. She said, are you ready for your 5-hour journey? And we all looked at each other like, yeah, we don't want to hurt her feelings. So we're like, yeah, sure. And sure enough, she was just kidding. But she did that the whole time. She was...
Sometimes I knew she was joking, but sometimes I wasn't sure.
I know.
It was very funny.
It was funny. So thank you, Lillian. You're now a family member. You're a Human Hope family member. You guys, here's the deal. You heard her story. And this is what I want you to do. I just want you to go to compassion.com/Whitaker. That's compassion.com/Whitaker. And when you do that, okay, when you do that, you are going to be able to partner with not only Compassion, but with the Human Hope family, the Insta Familia. And we have 736 kids that have been sponsored. I'd love to see 1,000. I'd love to see the Human Hope family come in and sponsor another little less than 300. And when that happens, we're going to have a party like we've never had before. So it's compassion.com/Whitaker. Please get on there. And all you've got to know now is that your support and your letters literally releases a child from poverty. That's what happens. And when you go to Whitaker, we're trying to get all the kids in Uganda actually sponsored. And so it started off with 3,300 kids, and now it's like 2,000, oh, I can't do the math, but whatever, 2,600 or something. And all the kids at that link are from Uganda, and all those kids are future Lillians. All those kids are future world leaders. So if you guys can go to compassion.com/Whitaker, WHITTAKER, 2 T's, not 1. You guys can join with the rest of us and release these children from poverty in Jesus' name. Losiah?
Yeah.
Here comes Dr. Delight. And I got one question for the people. You say it. The question is,
are you ready for this?
Yeah, come on. Hey. All right, Human Hope family, thanks so much for another hanging out with us on another episode of the Human Hope Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Carlos Enrique Guzman Chivo Cabello, and I'm with my sidekick,
Losiah Whitaker.
Losiah Whitaker, and we will see you next week on another episode of the Human Hope Podcast. We will be back in America next week at this point. Wait, will we? Yeah, I think we
yes,
will.
We will.
I think we'll be back in America.
We'll be back.
And we're going to be having a good time. Next week's podcast is a special one as well. Please share the podcast, review the podcast, rate the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. All of that actually helps the show continue to grow. And please make sure you check out our sponsors as well. Those sponsors and partners also help with the show, make it happen as well. I will see you next week on another episode
Bye.
Of the Human Hope Podcast. See you later.